Blog Talk Hello. Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology. Three astrologers who get together on Monday evening to speak about what's going on in the cosmos and around us, and to take calls or emails from listeners. We love to hear from you, and we like to give you some answers, see what we come up with. Anyway, this is Mark Waltz speaking from New York City, and I'm joined by my colleague
Ann Ortley on the Upper East Side of my bright red desk with a candle aglow and the window open because it's 53 and it's springtime in New York.
You hope.
I'm hoping it's springtime, that we're going to keep the spring. I did come home from dinner tonight, and I picked up a couple bunches of daffodils and some tulips with the anticipation if I bring the flowers indoors, it will be springtime outdoors, too. As above, so below, as outside, so within, you know, or as within, so without, whatever, we'll see. But I was like, right. Oh, those daffodils are nice looking, and I think I need some pink tulips to go with them. So, and, of course, Neptune,
We should be joined shortly by Heather Roan Robbins calling in from somewhere that they probably haven't felt much spring yet.
Mm-hmm. the in the cold cities. Land, right, in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to take to thaw that joint out.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see.
We'll see. But we know she's a little late because it's her honey's birthday, so she's out with Jamie,
taking
him for dinner. So it's very cool, or birthday celebration or whatever. So she said she would be calling in, but she might be a little delayed just because of the traffic and whatever.
Plus it's Mercury retrograde.
And as a lovely Virgo, I know I've been having a really – this has been a really interesting Mercury retrograde, I have to say. I've been hearing from a lot of people I hadn't talked to in a while. It's been pretty active. Hmm. And you usually get it later. You don't usually get it right away because you're an Aries.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Mercury retrograde doesn't really start for me until – 2 weeks into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was wondering if it would be different this time because Mercury's in Aries. No?
It could be, mm-hmm. but so far it hasn't been.
So far it hasn't
been.
In
fact, it seems lighter than usual.
Oh, well, okay.
So,
well, that's cool.
I heard, though, that our president made a big announcement about gearing up for his re-election campaign.
Oh, did he really? Okay. What did he say?
I think it was this morning. Uh-huh. And if I'm not mistaken, it was on a void moon along with the Mercury retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody in his campaign pays no attention to astrology. Either that, or they may be pursuing a very devious strategy.
they're paying attention to astrology and they're trying to throw the rest of us off. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, he did get sworn in on a void, of course, moon. So, you know, even though he had those two ceremonies, you know, and he had to do two swearing-in ceremonies, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he'll make a second announcement when the moon's not void.
I have a feeling something like that is going on.
It's
like a fake-out play in sports, you know. And, you know, because if you took a vote among astrologers, what would be, like, sort of worst indications for making an announcement? Void moon would come up right away.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mercury retrograde. Wouldn't you? Yeah.
He got them both.
Uncle Barack, what are you going to do? Well, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens. I missed that. I was busy running around today, enjoying springtime. It's good. So anyway, what do we have this week in the sky? Quite a bit, actually. We have Neptune went into Pisces this morning, bright and early, around 9:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So he's out of Aquarius, where he's been for 14 years. He'll be back there for a little bit more in the fall.
Yeah.
But this is his first time in Pisces in 164 years, so it's a while.
Yeah, to return home for Neptune.
Yes, Neptune's returning home, and it's also the sign he was in when he was discovered. And when Neptune was discovered, they realized there was this whole hidden world called bacteria and and paramecium and all these little things that cause the infections that made people die. And that's when they started developing penicillin to kill them off. So it's kind of a they knew there was something going on, but they didn't actually know what it looked like. So they figured it out. And Neptune as the dream keeper, I think, I happen to love, I have a nice Neptune for the most part. And I happen to love Neptune. It's just kind of one of my favorite planets. Although I will say, you know, you can get really kind of sogged in with its energy. Uh-huh. You know, you can lose track of life or lose track of the more mundane parts of life. So what do you feel Neptune and Pisces is going to be like?
Yeah, I feel like Neptune and Pisces is not going to be so much the fogged out as in a lot of the other signs, because it's really where Neptune feels at home. And so I think it actually will operate in a much more straightforward way than we're used to. So we'll have to take notes as we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then our friend Pluto is actually stopping right now, and it's going to officially retrograde on, when is it, Friday or something?
On Saturday morning. Pluto stations on Saturday morning at 4:49 in the morning. So you have to get up bright and early to see him stationed. Not that you can see him without a telescope, but. And I thought it was pretty funny that Richard Branson bought Pluto in a practical joke and announced that he'd bought Pluto and restored him to planetary status, which was a nice April Fool's joke for all the rest of us. But yeah, Pluto is at the degree of his station. So all this week he stopped at 7.5, getting ready to turn retrograde. And then he's going to go back and pick up, you know, the story from the fall and the story from last May when he was at 4:53, which is how far he's going back. And what he also asks us to do is, you know, whenever Pluto stops, we usually have fairly dramatic events in the world because he's the big guy, you know, and he rules the underworld. So we usually see a volcano or an earthquake or something significant like that. And we did have one. There was a tsunami in Indonesia, or earthquake in Indonesia. No tsunami. And so we'll see. We'll see.
When was that?
That was yesterday. Yeah.
Yesterday?
Yeah, because he's so big and he moves so slowly. He actually takes 5 days to station before he turns in a new direction. So he's stopped at his degree from now until 5 days later. What would that be? Next Thursday, next Wednesday, Thursday. Although, you know, we often notice the buildup, you know, which is what we're in now. So the buildup is triangles. You know, the triangle stories will come to light. We tend to see them more. We tend to get involved with them more, where we kind of like, wow, I didn't see that triangle coming, you know. it's always clarifying when it's Pluto. Power struggles, power dynamics, owning your own power. And, of course, Dave Ruel at Astro America had talked about 7 degrees Capricorn being the degree of the nuclear explosions, so we are watching that nuclear power plant over in Japan carefully to see if it's going to get through the Pluto station. But they did announce days when they thought it would be cleaned up by, so I thought that was good. Actually, years. So, are you there, Mark? You're cracking up.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I have a little bit of a sore throat.
Oh.
So you might.
No, it's kind of more like aluminum foil or something making noise.
Oh, really?
Okay.
That's the airways. That's the sunspots.
That's the spot. I like it. Okay, and then the other thing we have on Wednesday is Jupiter joins with the Sun, which is usually a nice... Huh?
It's a party day.
Party day on Wednesday the 6th, yeah. And because there are new planets are in new signs, you know, we have a lot of planets at the beginning. We don't have a lot at the end. So we have 3 void moons this week. So what do you suggest people do on a void moon?
Mostly routine kind of things. And just kind of taking care of regular sorts of business.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also be good for doing research or looking things up, putting things together, but not so good for making firm and final decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Good for having conversations. In fact, it kind of somewhat can take the pressure off of things because people don't feel quite as driven to come to a decision.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little more hemming and hawing and a little more indecisiveness. And so if you accept that it's okay to be indecisive in a discussion, and that that's actually helpful for certain discussions, those are good ones to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because the moon doesn't want us making decisions on a void moon necessarily.
Yeah, yeah. So not trying to stick to an agenda or to drive something toward a particular conclusion.
Right.
Instead, letting it be more freeform and just see where it goes. And if we come to a decision, we do. If we don't, we don't. You know, again, that those can be very fruitful discussions.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, because a lot of times they're those serendipitous moments where you kind of discover something and you go, I never knew that,
right.
As opposed to feeling like you know, our busy world is so often busy, busy, busy. You know, we don't really give ourselves time to do things. And when the moon's void, she's on vacation, so we're supposed to be too. And
right.
Very often we find there's traffic delays and airplane delays and, you know, just the world just doesn't really kind of run the way we're used to, which is good because it makes us kick back and say, okay, well, train's not going. I guess I'm not either. So carry books with you. Get yourself a Kindle and download books on it because you got a void moon all day today. You have another one all day on tomorrow night at 7 o'clock through all day Wednesday. You got another one on all day Saturday from 10:30 at night on Friday night, all day Saturday. And we're going to have a whole series of them. And then next Monday, we got another one all day long until 11:30 at night.
That's pretty cool. So
yeah, there's lots of them.
What this means is next week, you could turn in an extension form for the taxes.
Yes.
Reason, you put too many void moons.
Too many void moons to do my taxes. I just couldn't get them done.
Couldn't get them done?
Couldn't get them done and didn't want to either.
I need an extra month. I need a month. I need a blue moon.
I need a moon to make me be in the mood to do my taxes. I like that. I think that's got great potential. So
yeah.
We'll encourage that. And the moon this week is in Leo. It's in Cancer today. It's in Leo tomorrow. And, I'm sorry, I've got the wrong week. It's in Aries today. It's in Taurus tomorrow. And then it's in Taurus on Wednesday, void. And then with a nice closing aspects. The closing aspects are lovely. It's just there's a lot of void. And Gemini on Thursday and Friday. And then Cancer on Sunday night. So Gemini and Cancer, Gemini on Saturday morning. And then Cancer on Sunday the 10th. So all...
It's worth mentioning why we have such long void moons.
Yes.
And that's because we have so many planets early in the sign.
Right. That are hanging out. So there's no...
Yeah,
if you
it
think,
used to be
yeah.
Neptune at the end of Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
It was very often getting the last aspect.
Right.
But now it's sliding into Aries and picking up an early aspect.
Mm-hmm. And we also have, as part of the lovely feature of it, Uranus just changed from Pisces into
yep.
fire. So the Earth and the Water people don't have a nice closing aspect, and the Air and the Fire, the Earth and the Water people don't, and the Air and the Fire people don't. So the furthest out I think is Jupiter right now, at 15 or so. Yeah, and the rest of them are really early.
Yeah.
So this will be a big summer for void moons. So get yourself a big pile of stuff to work on void moons. So like today I did a bunch of billing, you know, kind of reconciling billing and doing tax stuff. It's not you can't do things on it, but don't go grocery shopping and buy new things because you're probably not going to eat the food. It'll spoil. But do things that you've been meaning to get to that you just never really had time. And also just it's leisurely. It's not as crazy and wild and you don't feel quite as frantic. I have to say I love my void moons. Good time for astrology reading, so schedule a reading with Mark, Heather, or I, because we, you know, it's very much a spiritual time or a time where you reflect on your dreams and your visions of what you want to do. So, and the week itself actually has some lovely energies, so I think we're good to go. So, do you want to take some callers? There's people on the line.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, we got people on the line.
Yeah, we got folks on the line.
We should mention the phone number, too.
Our phone number is 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. So if you've called recently, we'll ask you to kind of not ask the question. And if you're new to the show, that's great. I mean, not that we don't like the people that called before, but always want to give new folks a chance. And if you're calling to report in on, you know, an earlier reading we did for you, that's always great. We love to hear those. So report in, and then off we'll go and take the questions with other people. Yeah, let us know if we were right. That's always good to hear. You were right about that. I'm like, oh, that's good. All right, so let's try. Hi, 662. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
We're good. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, the question that I have is that I guess I've been going through some times of awakening. I guess if I can say it like that, and I want to know, based upon my astrological, my natal chart, if you all can basically tell me what my spiritual gifts may be. I think I kind of know, you know, but I just wanted to get some confirmation.
Okay, cool. What's your birthday?
January 4th, 1978, 5:56 a.m., Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Okay,
1978. January 4, 1978, 5:56 in the morning in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Okay, and what your spiritual path is the question.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, probably a fairly strong one. Spiritual path is shown from a few places.
Okay.
And you have, I hear little people. You have angular rising in your chart, the sign of Sagittarius, which gives a very strong orientation towards seeking the truth and trying to know what it is and really wanting to understand the truth. And then Mercury and Neptune are in your 12th house, which is the house of connection to God, not necessarily organized religions, you know, where the priest says do this or the minister says do this, but more like the divine connect to God, you know, like your interconnection. And, yeah, it's kind of a, you know, like, let me connect in and see what I'm supposed to be doing. And when you have the nodes the way you do, the north node is in the ninth house of being a spiritual seeker or being a seeker of wisdom and understanding about how the world works, kind of higher mind learning. So you're coming from, you know, kind of hard beginnings, it looks like, with Mars ruling that south node and Mars on the fourth house and the moon in Scorpio. And you're moving and you're saying, hey, you know, what's the world for? Why am I here?
Right.
And with the sun square Pluto, I often see people with that as having, they're often the spokespeople, you know, whenever a personal planet is in conversation with an outer planet. And in your case, the sun and Venus talk to Pluto. Venus is a little wide. Mercury and Neptune talk to each other, and the Moon and Uranus talk to each other. So you've got three planets talking to outer planets. Often people with that kind of situation are here to be the voice for their generation.
Okay, yes.
So very often you'll find, you know, you'll be a seeker and look for spiritual information and then pass it along to other people that you meet along the way. Because you're here to really transform yourself in the course of your life. Sun squares Pluto. You know, what you started at is going to be way different than where you end up, because that's a mandate. Every time you take a breath, you're evolving.
Okay, I guess.
So, and you also have a very strong leadership thing with 10, 11, and 12. How's planets in 10, 11, and 12? Because that's working for the collective.
Okay.
And then 7, 8, 9 are working with people one-on-one. So it's definitely a good chart. I mean, I think it's a personal spiritual. I don't know that it's necessarily, you know, within the auspices of an organized church. It's like, how do we connect, how do we all interconnect to divine?
Yeah.
And what does that look like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, I would underline that it's going to be by your own personal development and your own personal example. So you're like a candle within your community that really illuminates what it is to be spiritual in action, and being you know, unable to. So nobody can put out the candle that you burn. You have that spiritual strength, and whatever tests come to you, you find the personal power within them. And that becomes really a very, very strong example. and it serves really beyond even where you can see. Because people see how you handle things and how you let a crisis help you find strength rather than crumble. And people observe that, and it gives them an example. So I think that's really where your spirituality lies, is really looking at being spiritual in action and, you know, letting that light shine. Does that make sense?
Did you have any question for us about that? Or?
Oh, wow. I mean, that was good. As far as this week is concerned, could you tell me, is there any the probabilities of the energies that are flowing this week as far as or the finances or just the way it's going to flow, period?
Well, the way it's going to flow, you've got Saturn on the top of your chart, so you're really in a position of reevaluating career direction right now. And you have Saturn in the eighth house of money from other people and, you know, getting it or not getting it. There's not a lot of money per se emphasis, I don't see. You've got a lot of progressions going on in that second house, and that often shows as clarifying what the vision is for yourself, clarifying what you're trying to do, and then, you know, the nodes just kind of went off of your planets. So the progress moon's balsamic, so that usually is a figuring out of where you're going. It looks like you have financial stuff in a few months.
Okay.
But it doesn't look like there's anything huge right now. I mean, you've got Mars coming to trigger that, the south node, but usually that's a release. It's not always money coming in. And you do have Venus in the third, so there's a promise of money, but I'm not seeing any money per se. Although the moon in Taurus often is, you know, that's a good one. But last week was really when the money should have showed up.
Okay.
And if it doesn't show up now, it'll be in another 10 days or so.
Okay.
Yeah. Mark, anything on that?
Well, a little bit longer range when Pluto comes to conjunct Venus, which I guess should be next year. So we'll have lots going on.
Yeah, the financial picture is better, really, much better next year. This year's kind of a building year.
Okay.
And you
Thank
can
you.
Also get money, you know, sometimes with this placement, if you're leaving your work, or you've recently left your job, because you can do that.
Yeah, actually, I just started employment last week.
You just started a new job last week, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because often this is a job change chart, not necessarily. I mean, not like, you know, when people say money, I often think, oh, they're looking for an inheritance or something like that. But
yeah
with Saturn on your midheaven, you've got some nice. Nice aspects for a new definition of who you are, and with it in the money house, you know, Saturn natally is in your how you're valued by other people house, you know, you've got good aspects for money over the next, I would say over the next, you know, year, especially when Saturn gets to Pluto, which is in August. So,
okay.
So good.
Thank
so
you
good
all
luck.
So
Keep
much.
Us posted. Okay.
Yes,
bye.
I will. Mm-hmm.
There's people sneezing. All right. Hi, 503. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good. You have a question?
Yes. I'm actually, I'm thinking about starting a business online. And I wanted to see what my chart looked like for that.
Okay. What's your birthday?
It's March 4th, 1975.
Uh-huh. What time?
At 4:11 p.m. on the West Coast, Albany, Oregon.
And do you still live in Albany, Oregon?
No. My parents moved me to California when I was 2.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And are you still in California?
Now I live in Portland, Oregon. I've been here for 4 years.
The natal chart we always look at, but when you're starting a business, we want to look at where you're currently living, too. But there's not a huge difference between Albany
and Portland.
They're pretty close to each other, it looks like.
They're close.
Yeah.
Although there is a huge difference. But
in terms of the people, right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, Mark, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I don't have the chart.
You don't have it up yet? Okay. March 4th, 1975, 4:11 p.m. in Albany. Yep, one more time. What was the question?
So I want to start a business, an online business, and maybe even take it into, you know, brick and mortar, like business. But also I want to do this because it's something I'm interested and want to do, but I also want to create a schedule for myself to where maybe I can go back to school and do a master's in creative writing. And so I'm hoping kind of like doing this dual thing where the business opens up the schedule for me to do something that I like to do, make money, but also have more time available to write.
Okay.
It's a whole big thing.
So it's kind of really, it's a whole big adjustment of everything going on in your life to get the new cycle going.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm looking at trying to start this in the next month, and I'd like to do some kind of PR work around it where I have a launch party, and the community that I work in, we have a big art walk, and it's always the last Thursday of every month.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Mercury is retrograde, so the last Thursday of this month I think is around the 23rd. So I don't know if maybe it would be better to launch it the next
month. The last Thursday in April is the 28th, so Mercury will have gone direct.
But
okay. you're launching in a dark moon, right?
Okay.
Which often we encourage people not to do. I mean, that's not the only time you're going to launch, but the one May, if you're looking for promotional stuff there, May 26th, which would be the next Thursday, the moon is in Pisces, which isn't bad. It's void on both days, on the 28th and on the 26th of May. So I think, you know, I wouldn't make it be those be your launch days. I would try and launch on a new moon, if you can, or a couple days after a new moon. So there's a new moon at the beginning of May, and then maybe just do promotional stuff.
Well, I could launch it any time, but I just thought I would do this party.
Oh, totally do the promotional stuff. Yeah. Yeah,
okay,
but,
it's
yeah,
just
void
like,
moon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to. We were just talking at the top of the show about void moons make you.
Yeah.
You know, things don't really kind of. They're fun. They're party moons, but they don't. Things don't always turn out the way you want them to.
Okay.
So you don't want to launch it on that, but you want to maybe promote it on that. It's totally fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you,
and you have nice aspects for that because you're having Jupiter come to your Venus, and Venus co-rules your midheaven. She's intercepted in your 10th. And she also co-rules your third house, which is the house of writing. So I think the idea of starting a new 12-year cycle around, you know, your direction in life and your, you know, to allow you to do more, have more spaciousness and more time for creativity is good. And Venus is also in a trine to the creative planets in your fifth house, Moon and Neptune. So you've got lovely aspects for that kind of stuff. And in June, Jupiter gets to your midheaven, which is often people, you know, say, hi, here I am, world, here I am. So now, anytime now, because Jupiter's trining your ascendant, and then also between, you know, when we get towards June, it's up at the top of your chart saying, let me get out there, and then Saturn's in the third house. I think you might change it a few times until you get the final version, because you still have Saturn squaring your Saturn through the end of July. Which is usually like I did this and then I wanted to modify it and then I did this and I wanted to change it a little more. So, you know, don't think of it as static. Think of it as kind of an ongoing, as it talks to you and evolves. I think that makes sense. Yeah. Mark, do you see anything?
You're taking good advantage of this Uranus moving into Aries.
Yeah.
Because it's a very entrepreneurial period of time. So
is this
really hot.
Will this movement be going with me for a while, or it's just really good
8 years
to start it?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Uranus is 8 years, Jupiter's a year. So if you think back to 99 and to 87, each of those years, 75, each of those years you started something or your family started something about how you appeared in the world or where you, you know, what you did. So you're feeling a natural desire to stretch out into the world and say, hey, here I am, world. So it's, you know.
I think in 87, my father took over a business that my grandfather started. That's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, there's often repetition patterns. You'll see, you know, we see them all the time because we do this. Like people go, oh, wow. And they go, yeah, well, that happened then. So it makes sense you're starting your business now. You know,
so it looks like this could be a financially viable business.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Very totally.
Okay.
Yeah. You got nice aspects for owning your own business. You do have, you know, you're a little bit of a Virgo rising, so you have to be a little careful not to work too much and not to get lost in, not Virgo rising, Virgo ruling the second, to get lost in the details rather than focusing on the big picture. But you do have nice planets in the seventh house where people will want your stuff and get addicted to it, meaning they'll want to come back and buy it again and again.
Oh, yay.
Yeah,
and I have...
Well, we're out of time, so we're going to have to let you go. But,
go for
it. Give yourself a dream and go.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Okay, Mark, what do you want to say goodbye and tell everybody where to find us?
Thanks for listening in, and you can always find us at astronyc.com. That's astronyc.com. Or tune in to the Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
And you can also find Ann and I at the Open Center in New York on Tuesday evenings.
Normally this week at 5:30 instead of 6:30. Yep.
And that's just because Mercury's retrograde. We had to do something.
We have to change it up, yep.
Anyway, this is Mark Waltz in New York.
And Ann Ortley in New York, wishing you all a great week. Watch that Neptune station and the Pluto, the lovely Pluto. So,
okay.
See you all next week. And happy birthday, Jamie and Heather, wherever you are. So,
okay.
Take care. Bye.